Back in 1988, the Seattle School District had a problem on its hands. Black third graders were underperforming their white classmates in reading by 29 percentage points. It was a glaring inequality, and it was getting attention. That's the year that Keisha Scarlett started at Garfield High School in Seattle. Today, Keisha is still at Seattle Public Schools, and so is the disparity. In fact, the race gap has gotten bigger. Keisha is helping lead the district's charge to close that gap and lift up kids of color, and her approach is informed by her own experience as a Black student in Seattle, especially her years at Garfield. KNKX's Ashley Gross spent some time with Keisha, who's now the district's chief of equity, and she found that overcoming those inequalities is still very much a work in progress.
Garfield High School does not look much like it did when Keisha began ninth grade here in 1988. It's been remodeled. The mural where she and her friends used to hang out is long gone.
I'm kind of surprised they painted over the Transformer, but that was just like a spot. The Transformer little toy, you know, it was like a robot. It was Optimus Prime.
But beyond what the school looked like and what was painted on the walls, Keisha remembers how Garfield functioned as a giant sorting machine. Black students went into one classroom, white students into another.
So you go down here, they had foreign languages right here. So like this was the Spanish class I love so much. And all the white kids were going to Latin. All the black kids were going to Spanish, or maybe a little integration in French.
Keisha Scarlett is a tall woman. She's just a quarter inch shy of 6 feet. She's got a big smile and a quick laugh. But her very first day at Garfield as a ninth grader was not something to laugh about. Keisha was one of the only black students in the advanced learning track at Garfield. Full of first day anticipation, she walked into her honors language arts class and took a seat near the front. All around her, white kids were shuffling in. This is the end of the 80s, so think permed hair, acid washed jeans. Her teacher came over to her and asked to see her schedule.
I was like, why? And she's like, I just want to see your schedule. And I said, are you checking everyone's schedule? And she was like, what? And I was like, well, how about you check all of those people's schedules, and then you come back to me and check my schedule?
That response, let's just say that did not go over so well. They got in an argument. Her teacher told her she had to leave.
And I was like, why? Because I won't give you my schedule. And she was like, you need to get out because you're arrogant and uncooperative. And I'm not having this. We're not starting off the school year like this. I remember her saying, call me arrogant and uncooperative. You need to get out.
First period of the first day of school, Keisha and her teacher walk to the attendance office, where the teacher tells the secretary Keisha has been disrespectful. The secretary happens to know her older brother and sister.
She said, you're Kimberly and Maynard's sister? And I said, yes. She said, it's already first period and you're getting kicked out of class? I said she wanted to see my schedule, but she only picked me because I was the only black person in the class. She was like, well, we need to call your parent. I'm doing something so you can have a seat. And so I walked out and I sat here on the stairs and I sat there for like the entire period.
She didn't cry, but she was upset. Keisha kind of wanted to change schools, maybe go to Rainier Beach where her friends were, but she stuck it out. Even though the pain of that first day has lingered. And Keisha persevered in the honors classes, but it was not easy being one of two black students.
Just culturally, white kids just talk about different things than black kids. I mean, it was just, you know, white people talking about going on skiing, going to Crystal Mountain. I had no idea where Crystal Mountain was, and, you know, coming in puffy jackets and your need to code switch and, you know, what my family calls maybe using your white voice a little bit, you know.
I think it was very dislocating for her and really, you know, in hindsight, I would say it probably gave her a strong ability to fight for what she cares about today.
Sasha Rabkin became friends with Keisha sophomore year at Garfield.
She was fighting from a very early age to claim her space in education in a way that students shouldn't have to do.
Sasha had almost a mirror opposite experience at the school. He was one of the few white students in the regular non-honors classes. He says that was rewarding and gave him a diverse group of friends. And in the weird way that careers intersect, Keisha and Sasha now work on the same issues. He works for the nonprofit Equal Opportunity Schools, which helps districts desegregate their advanced classes. He says Keisha's isolation as a black student in mostly white honors and AP classes That's what happens all across the country.
Consistently, we see that African American, Latino, students of color in advanced courses feel like they don't belong. So I think for Keisha, both from her own experience and from what she knows about education now, it was a very challenging experience, but one that very clearly lit a fire under her that has not extinguished.
Would these stairs have been the same then?
Yeah, all the stairs are the same. You see they have the original woodwork. And, oh yeah, okay, I remember it was up here, science.
Which you love, right?
I love science. I majored in science.
Keisha has conflicted feelings about Garfield High School. It was hard being racially isolated, but she has a lot of good memories, too. She took classes like genetics and marine science, and she started to forge her identity as a young Black woman. But the lengths she went to do that are eye-opening. Junior year, she opted to take two U.S. history classes with the same teacher, one advanced placement and the other regular U.S. history. That way, she could learn the advanced material and have class with her Black friends. She had to explain it to the teacher when she went to sign up.
He's like, you already have U.S. history. You know, what are you taking this class for? That's not at your level. You're taking the, you know, the AP U.S. history. I said, I just love U.S. history, Mr. Creighton.
For college, Keisha chose an historically Black university in Atlanta. She majored in chemistry and had fun. She even jumped on stage at a Tupac concert during homecoming. She graduated and came back to Seattle to work as a hazardous materials manager for Boeing. But it was kind of boring work. She kept thinking about teaching. She had a newborn baby, but decided to keep working full-time at Boeing and pursue a master's in teaching. She became a middle school math and science teacher and then a principal. Now, she's working on fixing the racial equity problems she saw back when she was a student. And it's a very interesting time to be doing that. Superintendent Denise Juno has put this issue front and center. She uses striking language to talk about Garfield's lack of diversity in advanced classes.
I heard that the students there called it the slave ship or apartheid high. Since that time, I have learned that this is a generational legacy. This program segregation has been endorsed by this district for generations. This is unacceptable and embarrassing.
So Juno has taken aim at the idea of separate classes for gifted kids. Her idea of sending most of the kids back to their neighborhood schools is pretty unpopular with parents of kids in the advanced program. They've been speaking up at school board meetings. They say the problem is not the separate classes. It's the convoluted testing system. It creates barriers for kids of color.
Getting rid of dedicated HCC schools will amount to inefficiencies in teaching.
In the spirit of fixing equity issues, don't throw out what is working for an ill-defined alternative. Focus on identification. The testing is horrible.
He no longer complains that he's bored at school. He no longer asks me to email his teacher to give him more challenges.
When you ask people to suspend their privilege, it becomes really hard.
That last voice you heard was Keisha again. This is where racial equity does get really hard. Keisha says it comes down to opportunity hoarding. Families with privilege do a lot to make sure their kids continue to have privilege. But she says this shouldn't be a zero-sum game. If one group of kids isn't thriving, it hurts all of us. For example, Keisha says we need to rethink how we use the term gifted.
What I'd like to posit is, how do we think about access for all students? And what if we were to reframe that all of our children are highly capable and gifted, because they are. They're all highly capable of things, and they need just the opportunity.
Keisha says the best solution is to integrate students and provide them all access to challenging material. As a student, she succeeded in Seattle schools, but she's well aware that for many students of color, the system has not worked.
Education is not just a moral responsibility. It is a matter of life or death. I mean, when you look at health equity outcomes, particularly in communities of color, we have to all figure this out, you know, together.
The urgency has only increased over 30 years without progress. She says this is just too important to get wrong.
Ashley Gross covers youth and education at KNKX.